Hi, and welcome to the Cure Talks Cancer podcast. Each week, we talk with patients, survivors, caregivers, advocates, or healthcare professionals and do what Cure does best, provide cancer updates, research, and education. Metastatic breast cancer has allowed Susan G. Komen Central and Southern New Jersey board member Melissa Serday to find purpose not just in inspiring others with cancer, but in helping them cope with the COVID-19 pandemic as well. After being treated for aggressive triple-positive stage 3 metastatic breast cancer in 2010 at the age of 40, Serday thought her experience with cancer was complete, until 2 years later, when pain that she attributed to her gallbladder turned out to be the return of her cancer. But thanks to immediate and aggressive treatment that she remains on to this day, she is here 8 years later, quote, living her best life with stage 4 breast cancer. Here, Serday talked with us about how Komen helped her find a community and how her experience as a patient has prepared her for navigating treatment and making connections through a global pandemic.
Thanks for joining us, Melissa. Can you tell us a bit about your cancer journey?
Yes. So my cancer journey started in 2010. I was diagnosed at that time with extremely aggressive stage 3 breast cancer. I was 40. Had just turned 40, and like many of us, completely shocked by the diagnosis. Now, the reason for me being shocked was I had grown up with my mother having breast cancer, and she had passed away at the age of 40, and my sister, who is in the medical profession as she's a physician, 6 years prior to this diagnosis, we went and got BRCA screened, and her and I went on the same day. And I screened negative, and my sister screened positive. And so at that age, which was pretty young, my sister prophylactically had a double mastectomy, and I was being told that, you know, I don't have the gene, and therefore my risk of getting breast cancer was probably pretty common, whatever the risk is for living in the Northeast area. So here I am at 40, and I felt something on my breast, but, you know, my sister, myself, I mean, we just figured, it's probably a cyst. And when I went to my gynecologist, you know, he kind of knew it was very suspicious right then and there, and very calmly suggested that I get a mammogram because I had just turned 40. And why don't I get it by the end of the week, which is what made me think, that's weird. So fast forward, diagnosed stage 3. Immediately went in double mastectomy. I had it in 9 of 12 lymph nodes. I had all of the chemotherapy, you know, the Adriamycin and Cytoxan and Taxol. At that time, my breast cancer was a triple positive breast cancer. Great, you know, you're told if you're going to get breast cancer, get that one. you know, went on Herceptin, 33 days of consecutive radiation. And at the end of that year, I had my ovaries removed for, you know, safekeeping, just make sure everything was okay. And then I was cancer-free and everything was great. And then just shy of 2 years, my cancer had come back. And at that time, you know, again, completely off guard and taken by surprise. I was doing a lot of traveling internationally for my job. And I just thought I wasn't eating right and was having some weird pains that felt like gas pains. And when they weren't going away, and I went in and just, you know, got tested for maybe my gallbladder not being good, that ended up showing gallbladder was great, but that I was showing I had tumors throughout my liver. And once I went for that scan, it showed not only did I have hundreds and hundreds of tumors in my liver, but I had tumors in every single bone in my body. So that was in 2012. At that time, I was probably, that was in August, I was not looking at making it even anywhere near the end of the year. And my oncologist, again, extremely aggressive with me, put me right back on chemotherapy, very aggressive chemotherapy. At this now, my cancer presented as ER/PR negative, but still HER2 new positive. And so I started Herceptin, and at that time, a brand new companion drug with Herceptin, Perjeta. And I've been on Herceptin, Perjeta ever since 2012, every 3 weeks, nonstop. It's a little bit out of the normal protocol, but it's keeping me alive. So it's absolutely unbelievable that here I am like 8 years later and literally living my best life with stage four breast cancer.
Wow, that's amazing. So then how did you end up becoming involved in working with the Susan G. Komen Central South?
Yeah. I was asked to speak at one of their luncheons. I think it was probably about 2 years ago now. And I had given a TED Talk years ago. And as a result of that little TED Talk, which was all about being your authentic true self, because life's just too short to be anything else but. And I had peppered through that talk this taboo topic of cancer. You know, the way I am, I talk about everything in my life. Typical Jersey girl, nothing's off limits. And so cancer for me was also something that I couldn't not talk about it. And there were all these things that I was going through that I thought, I never knew that would happen, or I didn't assume that would happen. I wonder if anybody else would know, like to know about that. So one, somebody somewhere had seen this TED Talk, I think online, and had referred me to speak at the conference. So I spoke, and then like a week later, Suzanne Corson, who's the executive director of Komen, took me out to dinner and was like, we'd like you to join the board. And I had said to her, look, I really hadn't done anything with any real affiliation with any cancer organization up to that point. I have a very, very, very large friend network, but I have a hard time asking for money. Right? So like all of us do, especially in this day and age. So I had said to her, if you want me because I can get dollars, I can fundraise for you, I'm the wrong person. But if you want me on the board because you actually want a real live voice from the front line of living with metastatic breast cancer, I'm in. And Suzanne's like, that is exactly what we want. And I'll tell you, she has come through with that in spades. You know, it is amazing to me to be able to give a suggestion to this huge organization and actually see it come to life within a couple of months. You know, so for example, I gave a suggestion to Komen Central and Southern New Jersey to say, look, you know, a metastatic breast cancer patient, we are part of a community that nobody really cares about. We are a community that is now living long lives. Living our best lives, living way past any stats that anyone would have ever thought. And because of that, people just assume we're okay. So we are sort of a bit of a forgotten community. You know, there is a lot being done right now on those that hear the terrible news that they're being diagnosed under 30. I mean, that's horrible. You're just starting out your life and you have still yet to live, you know, and you're hearing this terrible news. There's the early detection community, right? There's the community if you have the genetic makeup community. But the community that every day gets up and is living their life with side effects that most people never see or feel and don't even know that you're having them, and they're doing all they can, you kind of feel a little bit alone. And in the past, my community of stage four breast cancer patients, we didn't live. So many people didn't care about that community because we weren't living. So I had suggested, you know, I think my community could really do a lot, you know, could really do with feeling special from time to time and being focused on, you know. And within a couple of months, we put together their first ever metastatic breast cancer conference, which is amazing. I mean, you know, when you ask people if they would be interested in this and then they come out, and it was such a great day. We had a day where, well, for me, I was like amongst my own community, which was great to get to meet people and partner with people that are going through exactly what I'm going through, you know, managing a family, working and living with disease, you know, and all the while, no one else knows but me. We had docs come talk, nutritionists come talk. We had a day where we felt pampered and special. It just was great. So that my involvement, I am so glad that I said yes, because I think I can really make a difference, obviously on the whole continuum of breast cancer, but specifically for this community.
That's fantastic. So then now, taking a bit of a step back just in general, as a patient with metastatic breast cancer, do you consider COVID-19 an even bigger threat?
I do. I have to tell you, I was in my house, the company that I work for, had me work from home before they mandated everybody else work from home. Anybody that had any kind of disease or, you know, respiratory illness or what have you, they said, just start working from home. So I was working from home a good week before the company decided everybody work from home. So I've been working from home for 2 full weeks before I was outside amongst the real world. And my first step outside the real into the real world was having to go for treatment. And I was terrified because, you know, you're going into a healthcare facility, which normally, you know, it's where germs are, right? Without COVID-19. And then you've got this COVID-19 going on. I just thought, oh my God, here I am. I'm going to go for treatment. I'm going to come home. And within a day, I'm going to get a cough. I'm not going to be able to breathe. And then that's it for me. I mean, I was terrified. But I have to tell you, the healthcare systems, every place, probably not just my own oncology facility, but wow, they're really on top of ensuring that their patient's safety is number one. I was thrilled. Like as soon as I walked to the establishment, I saw, you know, the suited up nurse. You had the temperature gauge, taking everyone's temperature. You weren't even allowed in if you were over 98.6, and all the doors were already held open. I didn't have to touch anything. Like I touched nothing. I felt really good, but yeah, I mean, it's scary because it's scary even if you're not sick and managing through disease. And when you have, you feel like when you have disease, you feel like you're already a little bit of damaged goods mentally, right? So when something like this hits and there's just not enough information about it, you definitely think if anyone's going to get it first, yep, it's probably going to be me.
Yeah. So then kind of looking at it from a little bit of a higher level in your work with Komen, are you seeing other patients kind of, you know, facing challenges that have to do with dealing with this whole thing as well that are similar?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, through Komen, one of the great things about Komen is it is a great way for the network to come together. Komen does a great job of using social media, you know, their Instagram account, their Facebook page, etc., where they are just continually ensuring that they are posting up-to-date, real, true information that's out there, guiding people of where to get additional information if they don't have it. And then again, the network, you know, just within the last couple of years, I have met people that are just like me. So, you know, we've been able to sort of reach out to each other. And I would have never had that opportunity if I wasn't part of a larger organization that spends its time just in my community. So really just helping each other out with tips. I mean, I've got even some of the Komen people that are, you know, involved in this mask making project that I'm doing now, just a small little bit to try to help the overall system. But yeah, we help each other out and they have a really good presence and they are putting out only what's necessary. You know, there could be certain groups that would be maybe taking advantage of the situation and putting a whole lot more out there. Komen is being very specific about, you know, what's happened with COVID-19 and what you need to be aware of for your own self. And it's things like not only, yes, washing your hands, yes, social distancing, but it's also take good care. Don't forget that your nutrition, your health, your sleep, moving your body, all of these things are just good practice. And don't, you know, now that we're all running scared, you can easily get away from just good practice of good health.
Yeah. So then is there anything specific, any programs or anything that you'd like to highlight that maybe are coming down the pike or yep, out there to help?
Yeah. So we were actually working towards our second annual metastatic breast cancer conference, which I cannot wait for because it's going to be even killer better than the first. We were doing that in May, but you know, like everywhere, we are pivoting on a dime and we are moving that out to August. Which is great. It means we're still going to have it because, you know, in the world that we're living in right now with COVID-19, it is horrible watching what's happening. And it's like the world just turned on its head. But there is still the reality of our world. There is still breast cancer. There will still be breast cancer. So we can't take our eye off that ball. We can't take our eye off the communities that need us. So I'm really glad to see that it was never a question of let's just push everything off and make it a wash for the year, but it's how do we still do this and ensure that we can reach the people we need to reach? So August, we pivoted, we re-signed up everybody. We're going to do it in person. If we can't do it in person, we're going to do it virtually. So they're being super agile. And then in October, we are still planning on having our big walk, our Race for the Cure walk. Which is a great adventure, Six Flags. And I got to tell you, that day is great. Because that is, that's just where there's just so many women that are coming out either in memory or in support of or for themselves like myself. It is such a great day. I mean, you just feel so much love and you feel so connected. And we're going to still do that.
Yeah. And speaking of connection, that's basically, it seems to be the theme that everybody's kind of sticking with right now, that even though we're, social distancing, we have to maintain those connections. So in that vein, do you have any advice for patients that may be concerned about how to handle the pandemic?
Yeah, I think don't keep it inside you. That's number one, first and foremost. You have to reach out. So I would say, if you are a patient, that's number one. If you are living alone, you need to reach out, family or friends. We are better together, and we can get through anything if we are together. Lean on your oncologist. Our oncologists are members of our family, and hey, when I was terrified to get out of the house and go to get treatment, I texted him because, look, if you're a regular cancer patient, your oncologist is right on the ready. You're texting. And I texted him and I said, am I going to be okay? And, all he texted back was, trust me, I got you. Done. And that goes a long, long way. So I think reach out. If you need to talk with your doc, you're talking with your doc. If you need to reach out and be with family, be with family. And again, I can't stress enough, take good care. Continue to take good care of yourself because that's the foundation. Eat right, get sleep, and making sure you're reaching out.
Excellent. That's great. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us today.
Oh, thank you. And stay safe.
You too.
Thanks, Melissa, for sharing your story. Don't forget to subscribe to the Cure Talks Cancer podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other apps to hear every episode, or visit curetoday.com/podcasts. The Cure Talks Cancer podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. For more information, visit us at curetoday.com or find us on Twitter at @cure_magazine or Facebook at @curemagazine.